From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Both the Senate and the Assembly are scheduled to vote this morning on a package of bills that will make dramatic mid-year spending cuts to the state budget. Democrats say the plan slashes the state's $14.5 billion budget deficit in half. From Sacramento, Tamara Keith has more.
The Assembly Budget Committee moved quickly yesterday, approving all seven budget bills one after another.
Would the Secretary please call the roll?
Laird?
Aye.
Laird, aye. Nilo?
Aye.
Nilo, aye.
What's notable about this vote is the support from Republicans and Democrats alike. Assembly Budget Chair John Laird says the urgency of the state's fiscal situation brought lawmakers together.
We're uprighting this year's budget, cutting next year's problem in half, and relieving the pressures of the cash flow problem in this next 6 to 8 months. All those things happen as part of this package.
Lawmakers crafted this package in a special session to take on the state's fiscal emergency. It's not all cuts. They're shifting funds and cutting programs that had been funded but not yet launched. Republican Roger Nilo, the Budget Committee vice chair, says the package goes a long way, but the state still faces a multi-billion dollar deficit in the coming year.
Some could say maybe we haven't gone far enough and it would have been ideal to solve the whole problem in the context of the special session, but we are making progress and I am pleased with that.
This package avoids controversial proposals from the governor to close state parks and release prisoners early. But there were plenty of people in the Assembly hearing room not at all pleased. $500 million in education cuts, 60 judge positions left vacant, cost of living adjustments put on hold for Social Security and welfare recipients, and a 10% cut in payments made to Medi-Cal providers. Lisa Fulberg is with the California Medical Association.
It's false to assume that physicians and other providers can keep providing these services and losing money on every single Medi-Cal patient. And so there is a tipping point, and I fear that the 10% is that tipping point where providers are going to start shutting their offices to new Medi-Cal patients.
That, she says, would limit health care access for low-income patients and send more people to overtaxed emergency rooms. Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez says he isn't happy with the cuts either, but they're necessary.
Well, look, I get it. I mean, a lot of people aren't happy, but this is just the icing on the cake. What's coming in the budget year are devastating cuts. You know, we're in dire straits right now. There's no two ways around this.
Leaders on both sides of the aisle predict the basic cuts will pass today in both houses, with the two-thirds majority needed to take effect immediately. For the California Report, I'm Tamara Keith in Sacramento.
Public health officials in Sacramento say local health officials must report all severe staph infections originating outside healthcare facilities. Antibiotic-resistant staph infections have hospitalized tens of thousands of people across the country and in some cases proved fatal. The new policy doesn't go far enough for some healthcare advocates. Studies show some 80% of the infections at issue occur in hospitals and nursing homes. Congressman George Miller of Martinez is one of four Democratic lawmakers in Washington calling for an independent investigation of the National School Lunch Program. Their letter to the Government Accountability Office follows the Humane Society's release last month of a videotape showing workers slaughtering non-ambulatory or downer cattle at Hallmark Meatpacking, one of the lunch program's top suppliers. The Chino plant's been shut down, but the lawmakers argue the action leaves unanswered a larger question about the overall effectiveness of federal safety efforts. A hot market for copper is driving thieves to take new and bolder risks. Throughout California, they're stripping phone lines, raiding air conditioning systems, even gutting streetlights. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca has more on what authorities in Fresno are doing to combat the problem.
A maintenance crew is pulling new wire off giant spools set in the back of a city pickup. They're replacing a whole block of streetlights near an elementary school. Maintenance manager Brian Russell says in Fresno, thieves have stolen wire from 2,000 streetlights in order to sell it to recyclers.
We suspect that they're cutting the wire during the daytime to minimize the exposure from the streetlights going dim all of a sudden, or an arc or a flash, because they're cutting this stuff while this wire is hot. If you didn't know what you were doing, your attempt to stealing this wire while it was still live, you could get yourself killed real quick.
To track the thieves, local police are learning from detectives in the Fresno County Sheriff's Department, who've been sniffing out metal theft in rural areas for the last few years, like Sergeant Mark Bray. He's a 6-foot, 8-inch tall deputy who patrols while listening to Andrea Bocelli and his police radio.
Metal theft is probably our greatest concern right now, just because of the price of copper.
That price has soared above $3.50 a pound. Thieves have been yanking copper wire from farmers' irrigation pumps, making it impossible for them to water their orchards. Sergeant Bray and his team have been trying to work with metal recyclers to help nab the thieves. Here at Bruno's Recycling Center in southwest Fresno, a machine crushes thousands of feet of copper wire into squares about the size of a hay bale. They're destined for China, one of the biggest copper markets right now because of a building boom there. Sergeant Bray says recyclers like this one are filming cars that pull in to drop off copper wire on their security cameras and sending those images to police.
You know, the ones that really concern us is the person coming up in, you know, a 72 Nova with 150 pounds of bright and shiny copper in the trunk. You know, that's obviously a red flag, not only to us, but to the metal yard owner.
Some recyclers also set up systems to email electronic receipts to police. But not all recyclers do this, and the industry has fought bills that would have required recyclers to wait 10 days before paying sellers for scrap metal. A new bill, sponsored by Senator Abel Maldonado, would make it mandatory for recyclers to record driver's license numbers and the license plates of anyone selling scrap metal. That bill has passed out of the state Senate and is awaiting action in the Assembly. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Friday, February 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, with additional engineering from Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, and Tom Krumkowski. Our director is Rory Gallagher. Our interns are June Stinson, Ali Tabatabai, and Leanne Lucetta. The editor is Kat Snow. Our senior editor is Pat Flynn. The producers are Victoria Malione and Erica Kelly. Ingrid Becker is the senior producer. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Teachers Association, because every child deserves a chance to learn, and no child succeeds alone. More information is available at cta.org. And the Wesley Foundation, for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.